Brewers fans, this one is over, and now it's time for the longest-running mashup. It's show meets show. The Wendy's Big Show meets the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's the Big Show's Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Bill Baby Tau Schmid, and the franchise, Tim Allen.
It is a final from Miller Park, the game and the series, and it ends with a Brewers slugfest victory, 11-9 the final. Welcome, everybody. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey as we meet the Wendy's Big Show. Gary, Sparky, Billy, myself, Tim, and a Brewers victory here in the 2019 championship season, 29-22. And raise your hand if earlier today, just after noon, it was probably 12:40 range when it was 5-0. Mm-hmm. Raise your hand if you thought the Brewers were going to lose today.
I wasn't there necessarily at that point.
It was early.
But I was very excited when Hira hit that home run. That made my day when he hit a second home run.
Second on the season for Keston Hira.
He's can't go anywhere.
He's hitting Come 273. On. His on-base is 333.
And he was at 290 after the home run,
yes.
And then he fell down after they couldn't get hit again.
Yep, playing some defense here that's at least average, maybe a little bit above average.
That's all it has to be.
I agree. And tonight, by the way, Travis Shaw is going to play in a Triple-A game. So the clock is ticking here. There's really no room to keep both Keston Hira and Travis Shaw, or is there? We'll get into that a little bit later on. And the Brewers do get the victory. But I know you guys have been focusing on the Milwaukee Bucks, and rightly so. Bucks on a special run. Fired up about the Bucks.
Sorry. Yeah, no doubt. But obviously then they falter like all teams will. But Tim, we got the Milwaukee Brewers in the midst of the championship season.
We do. And I'm just wondering, with the Bucks doing what they're doing, how much attention are the Brewers getting in your world?
Not nearly as much as I would have expected. It's interesting. I was actually talking to Stevie about it the other day, where we come in here, and when I'm doing the postgame show with you at night, and the Bucks are on in the same time, I'm watching the Bucks game, and I'm focused on the Bucks game. A lot of time, the audio will be on the Bucks game, but I'm focused in on the Brewer game, making sure I know absolutely everything that's going on in the game. And then for 5-6 minutes, all of a sudden I look up. I was like, "Wait, I thought the Bucks were down 4. Now they're up 4. Oh, okay, all right, cool. Let me dial it back in." But I feel like a lot of that's the position that I'm in during the radio show.
And you're not a good barometer for that.
I'm a very, very bad barometer of it because I would watch every second of Bucks basketball and every pitch of Brewers baseball either way, and now I'm just blending them together and just ruining my brain with all these sports that can conflicting all left
now,
and right.
He's not a great barometer of it, but a better barometer than you are, and that's Gary. How much, with the Bucks doing what they're doing, how much focus do you give the Brewers?
Keep it straight 100, Tim, very little focus on the Milwaukee mm-hmm. Brewers at this point. I think right now, I mean, you know, I think this town is big enough to share it, but the Bucks are in a situation where we haven't been in 50, 60, 70 years. So you're kind of riding that wave. Once again, you also have a once-in-a-lifetime generational player in Giannis, and you want to see that out. But, I mean, you still go out to Miller Park, they're still drawing a crowd.
36,000 yeah. last night, Gary, yeah, 35,000 today.
That's why I say that. So the city most certainly can handle it. There's enough out there. And so that there's people are just absolutely enjoying themselves right now. You know, and plus you've got Packer minicamp, I believe, started.
Totally being ignored.
Well, it started, but it started yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, assistant coaches talked today.
And were they open? Because
they're open to fans.
Yeah, because I saw a picture out there where they were packed.
Yep.
It's a good time.
Well, we're not talking about them.
They probably are in Green Bay.
Yeah, we're not talking. Well, I don't even know.
Well, and talk about unprecedented territory, Gary. They haven't had a new coach in these mini camps there's in 13 years, thing. And we still haven't talked about that much at all. We played Matt LaFleur yesterday, and it was like, oh, okay, guys, we have to hear from Matt LaFleur, right? We got to hear from the back of his new coach.
But what I'm saying is, you got three things going on right now, and the people, but there's enough people in the state that are still dedicating themselves to hitting all three.
And I know it's about the games. The games sometimes don't sync up. Like today's Brewer game, it doesn't sync up right on a day, again, that the Bucks are playing.
Which is great.
It's excellent. And tomorrow the Bucks are going to be in play. And then the next night, it's the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
And then when's game six?
Monday. Game six is Saturday night.
There you go.
Game seven is Monday night.
Now we have a little bit of a conflict on Saturday night. The Brewers have a late afternoon start. That's a 3 o'clock start, and the Bucks will play at night. Mm-hmm. So there's enough to share it there. But just in terms of, you jump around on your phone, and what do you gravitate toward? Are the Brewers taking a little bit of a backseat to the Bucks? And I get the heritage of where the Bucks are at here. I do. But the Brewers, again, are 29-22. If the Bucks were already eliminated, would the Brewers be getting a little more love?
Well, from us, but that's what I'm saying, Tim. We're just, us here, are a small sample size of kind of what goes on. But if you look at the crowds that are going to Miller Park, the people are still going there. They're not paying attention to the Brewers because of what the Bucks are doing.
Right, like there were still people at the game last night, even though there was a huge Bucks game going on.
They're still getting their share.
Yeah, it was 36,000 last night.
So often,
with kids in school,
so often we, the media people, we love to pit fan bases against one another: Brewer fan base, Buck fan base, Packer fan base. We love to do that. But it feels like to me right now that there are people attending all three of these things that are happening right now in the state of Wisconsin, which is absolutely incredible.
And the three fan bases definitely obviously cross-pollinate, right? I mean, they're a mixture of all of it. We all have our favorite.
Well, I feel like Brewers and Packers fan base are probably more of the same.
They're more similar because of the size, or you say with the demographics?
Demographics.
Now,
demographics?
Even for the casual fan.
Well, I just put it this way. I see more African-American people at Bucks games than I do at Packer games. How about that? I can speak to that.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
No, I would agree. But still, though, even the casual fans, though, are still like,
well,
wow,
now you've got the casual fans. Steve was talking about this. Now you've got the casual fans, though, all over the Bucks, and then you got Bucks fans pissed off at casual fans.
Well, see, no. Open your arms.
Just like Brewer fans were when Braun and Fielder and County, Miller Park started getting full and people couldn't get tickets cheap anymore. We had that on post-game show all the time. All these bandwagon jumpers can stay home. Now I can't get my seats anymore.
No.
Remember that? When the Brewers were getting good, core Brewer fans were livid, and now you got core Bucks fans feeling the similar way again.
And I just say, welcome aboard.
Yes.
Well, that's what you should say, yes.
No, but just welcome aboard. So what? People follow. Like for me, the Bucks, for example, I would be classified as what type of Bucks fan?
Very, very casual.
Very casual. Go to the Bucks, yeah. But game 19 this year was like, hey, what'd the Bucks do?
Yep.
Oh, that's cool. Now everybody can join in. Everybody's in on the mix here. Under the radar here is a good baseball team, and let's let the Bucks clear a little bit, right?
Yeah, let him clear a little bit.
Before you came on, Mark Simon was on from Sports Info Solutions. And Gary, you asked him a question about starting pitching, right? And where the Brewers are, starting pitching wise, whatever else. He just tweeted back at you again after looking some stuff up. Sports Info Solutions. I want to answer the starting pitching question more in depth, Gary. We have a stat about which teams allow hard hit balls most often. Brewers starters rank fourth worst in the National League.
Jesus.
Brewers relievers rank fourth best in the National League. That's why Keuchel makes more sense for the Brewers.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I might disagree with that. I would want a closer. Although, speaking of which, today Josh Hader, inning and two-thirds, gets the save, his 12th on the season, as the Brewers win a slugfest 11-9. And it is really how much time. That's what I wanted to discuss today and involve the Bucks in here. Because the Bucks are doing something rather historic, aren't they? I mean,
no doubt.
In these parts.
Absolutely.
In these parts. Do you remember where you were in 71, when the Bucks went to the finals?
Yeah, Billy, do you remember where you were?
No, I think I was hanging out at Pius High School inside my father.
Oh.
So there you go.
71.
Do you, Gary?
In 1971.
Yeah.
I was born in 63.
Okay.
So that makes me
eight. Who were they playing? The Bullets?
The Boston Bullets.
You weren't even eight at that point because your birthday hadn't come yet, had it? Yeah. When's your birthday?
July.
Yeah, so you're seven.
So I was 7 years old. Where were you, Timmy?
I know exactly where I was.
In my
living room, yeah, watching the Milwaukee Bucks.
How old were you?
Because I was a year younger than you.
Okay.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
It was like some birthday party or something, and all the kids were out watching the
watching
the game. So we have a historic thing going on with the Milwaukee Bucks, but flying under the radar are the Brewers, and in this one, they win this 11-9, 414-799-1250. If you want to talk about the Bucks and maybe irk me just a little bit, that's cool.
Let's do it. I like that idea.
Okay.
I got some green and growing. We'll play some Bucks going bonkers.
Yeah,
that'll get under you and Gary's nerves. I'm down with that.
Everything on the Baby Shade and Blind post-game show is going to be sort of Bucks-related today. So, for example, the Are You Kidding Me moment of the game. Normally, it's the game. It's just Are You Kidding Me moment brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, a company you can trust. Check them out at GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. Are You Kidding Me is all of a sudden you turn around and you see that the Bucks are tied 2-2 in the best of seven. Are you kidding me? See how I involved the Bucks there? I'm trying.
Nice work.
I'm trying.
Not a kid. Proud of you.
Trying to work with
you.
Proud
of you. Nice work.
We'll check
nice
out
work.
Some highlights. And if you want to comment, again, on the Bucks or the Brewers today, 414-799-1250. Brewers win game two of this three-game set over the Reds, 11-9 final.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. So when it comes to the crew, who's hot and who's not?
Wendy's Big Show meets the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals after a Brewers 11-9 victory over the Cincinnati Reds. They earn a split in this quick two-game set, 29-22 overall, and who's hot, who's not. Today is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashion since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. So we're going to go back to last night's box score.
Do we really have to?
Yeah. Yeah, we do. There's some redeeming qualities of the Bucks box score last night.
Maybe Ersan Ilyasova, 18 minutes, 3 of 5 from the floor, 7 points.
Middleton.
Chris Middleton, 11 of 15 from the field, 4 of 7 from downtown.
Okay.
Had 30, 25, 10 and 5 from Giannis. Had 3 blocks in there as well.
All right, see.
Miritic, struggling a little bit. He'd be in the not category, Tim. Nico Miritic would be in the not category.
Yeah, when's he going to start?
2 of 8 from downtown. And yeah. Eric Bledsoe, 2 of 7, which is 5 points.
All right, so there you go. 414-799-1250. Kurt.
That was no fun. I don't know why you made me do that.
You're on the fan. Hey, Kurt, what's up?
Hey, I'm leaving the Brewer Stadium right now and just got to... I know you're talking Bucks, but Gira batting in the fifth inning. I mean, he threw to one guy. Why would they bat him though? I mean, he was horrible. Curious.
No, because they wanted to get more length out of him. Hey, let me ask you this, Kurt. You were at the game today. How much Bucks gear did you see today?
You know, honestly, I'm looking out my window right now in the parking lot. I see really none, and I didn't see any, to tell you the truth.
All right, Kurt. Thanks for the call. What do you guys see? What are you guys seeing out there?
I saw a couple of Yelich jerseys out in the Deer District last night.
No, I'm just
asking.
Pretty
good.
Bucks versus Brewers. So, what are you seeing apparel wise out in the community?
More Bucks stuff everywhere. I even saw for the first time ever Bucks flags on cars.
Oh, like car flags, the one that you stick up in the window and hang out and
it's normally Packers.
Rattle around. Yes,
okay.
Mostly
so,
Packers.
I've been seeing Bucks.
All right.
Yeah.
I've seen more Bucks gear than I thought they actually sold, to be completely honest with you. Because in the last 5 years, you'd be hard-pressed to find six
people
T-shirts up on a rack.
Bucks in their windows now at home.
That's just crazy how that works, man. And that, you know what? Those aren't the hardcores. You know that, right? They're the casual fans that buy this.
No, those are casual fans, yes.
They are.
Yeah.
I mean, my girlfriend is always more of a basketball person than I am, mm-hmm. all into the Bucks, all way into the Bucks.
You had to buy tickets because of it.
I did. Right. I had to go get tickets. We had to go see the new digs down there mm-hmm. and jump on the bandwagon.
You going to come hang out at the Deer District when they go to the NBA Finals and jump around and drink beer or what?
Probably not. I mean, that's probably something for you guys to do. Now you talk about
Some Bucks fans would say that would be for the people that were Bucks fans back when they won 15 games would be, but that's not how you grow the fan base. That's not how you have guys in 10 years wanting to go and see a game if they're up in Oshkosh on work and go see the Wisconsin Herd for a night when you're up in Oshkosh for 3 days.
Right.
There's a run of, I don't know if it's patience or I don't know if it's loyalty or I don't know if it's just blind love that you had Brewers fans going to Beloit to watch the Beloit Snappers so you could see Prince Fielder and J.J. Hardy coming up when you knew the team at Miller Park was awful because Jeff DiMico was your opening day starter or whatever that was.
But aren't all bets off because one of our own wins a title?
It should be. Because we're all going to party down Wisconsin Avenue. We're all going to be running around with our shirts off.
Just because I'm more of a Brewers fan than I am a Bucks fan wouldn't mean that I wouldn't, you know, fist pump happy about the Milwaukee Bucks winning an NBA title.
Yeah.
There's a cross-pollination of fan base here between the Bucks and the Brewers that is just there. It's the same people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
When it comes to the high success, mm-hmm. when it comes to that, the Brewers do get the win today, 11-9 final. Spark of the game is brought to you by Current Electric, and the spark of the game, Keston Hira.
Mm-hmm. I like Keston.
Yeah, and he hits his second big league home run, and after the homer, he is now hitting .273, .330 on base percentage. And what do you do with Keston? Hmm. What do you think?
Do I get to hear this?
Yeah, we'd love to.
Come on now, you're robbing me, Tim. Don't rob me.
Hira sends one to left. High fly ball. Back to the wall is Van Meter, and she's gone. Keston Hira with his first Miller Park home run.
I mean, that is on Fox Sports Wisconsin.
That's beautiful.
That
beautiful.
Did you hear the crowd there? Mm-hmm. I mean, that just, again, the Brewers are still a very good baseball team. I think they're just flying under the radar for the Bucks, and they'll take a back seat at 29-22. Are they going to be 51-0? Of course not. But if you look at what the Bucks are doing, fine. Play out the string. We'll all jump on the Brewers bandwagon once the Bucks win an NBA title.
I've always thought that the Brewers fan base was always a little bit different because of the success that they had in 2008 and 2011. That was when my age demographic was really starting to get into sports, like when we would be old enough like to go to the game by ourselves, right? Like when you'd be able to go to the game and in high school and somebody would be able to drive with four people and you'd go and buy tickets up in the terrace level for $6. You were able to do that at Bucks games seemingly my entire life. Now, the last couple of years, it's been more ingrained that big-time Brewer games are going to be tougher tickets to get. Like, you grow a fan base by winning early and then being relevant on through, like Mark's been able to do with this Brewers team. So if this is the kickstart to the Bucks dynasty or the Bucks run of growing a fan base right in the city of Milwaukee, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, it's starting off with a better bang than the Brewers did in 2008 because the Brewers got run out of Philadelphia. We did a party because they were going off as the second wild card team with CC Sabathia. And Tim, I don't know if they scored more than four runs the entire series.
Yeah, but the landscape now has changed because we need, well, hopefully we can get used to this where we want to share the excitement of both of these teams, at least in the city of Milwaukee. I think the Packers are on a little different plane. I think we'd all agree
No doubt.
I mean, that's just across the board. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's bars in the middle of nowhere up north that are just noon Packers on Sunday. Yeah. It's just, that's what it is.
It's a religion.
But in this area, when you really get down to it, maybe this is a good habit to have.
You know what, Tim? You know what no one's really talked about, though, and I'm sure you have, but how the Brewers have been able to really redo this team right in front of your face. I mean, no more Prince Fielder. No more Yovani Gallardo. No more Ben Sheets.
J.J. Hardy. Corey Hart.
The only guys left over is Ryan Braun.
Yep.
And this is a whole new regime here.
Well, think about this, Gary.
What was the bottom? Do you guys remember the bottom? What was the bottom after the Gallardo?
72 wins.
Was that the bottom, 72? When was that?
2015.
So that is a quick turnaround. You're right.
And folks, we have no earthly idea. People are not even talking about, I'm not saying it's a dynasty, Brewers, but how relevant, I guess should say.
Very much.
The Brewers have been able to sustain this and keep it going. Now, no championships, but still, for me, sustain winning.
Being relevant.
Being relevant.
As
good. You got shot.
Well, and to that point and to that ilk, look at how this has turned over, Gary. You talked about that the only dude still playing on that team is Ryan Braun those teams. One of the dudes that was on those teams is the manager.
Right.
Greg Counsell played when they started this run, and now he coaches the team. That shows what they've been able to do in the last decade.
So what have we had? We had roughly a 20-year run?
No, a little over a decade.
10-year run?
About 10,
since 2008, not 11 years.
A 10-year run?
Yeah.
Since Princeton first got here?
Even the front half of that was, you look at the...
were just starting the postgame show at that time.
2009 and 10.
We didn't get good seasons. Until... Because I remember when it got CC Sabathia.
That's 8.
I remember when we did that.
And that was a game changer. That was arriving moment. That was when you made the moves knowing that... Like, this was the drop dead. We had to make it to the playoffs doing that move.
Okay, so no, I know what you're saying, Gary. I do, because I think I remember, and Stevie can attest to this, I think I remember saying, oh boy, man, if this blue chip crop of J.J. Hardy and Braun and Prince and all these guys, once these guys clear and they don't have a World Series appearance or a World Series ring, boy, oh boy, what are we going to do now? Mm-hmm. There's no helping them then. No, there's no helping them. So they did all clear, right? They've all cleared. And now we can say truly they're better. They're better than that group of Brewers players. Clearly better right now. And this run is just getting going here. The turnover that started with Doug Melvin, and let's not discount that, the Doug Melvin started this thing.
Right.
He actually came in and made the Brewers relevant. Mm-hmm. He did. When he got here, and the new ownership, that certainly had changed things around. There were some investments made in the, if you recall, in the experience at Miller Park. And that's what they wanted to change right away. Adonacio came in, and he said, we're going to make sure that the Miller Park experience is there for you. And then Melvin worked on the baseball ops side of things. He did change and turn things around. Now Stearns takes it to a different level for sure. Brewers get a 11-9 victory today, a back-and-forth affair. If you're just getting out of work, man, they were down 5-0 after a couple of innings, and the Brewers just battled back. They tied it at 6, then they're trailing 8-6, and they came back and tied it at 8, and then scored some late runs to put this one in the bank, as Billy was saying before, and they get the victory.
It was over. It wasn't a fear. It was done. If this is going to be a battle of bullpens, the Brewers are going to win against the Cincinnati Reds. And it was a battle of the bullpens once Craig Counsell. Tim, I don't know when we're going to get to this, or I just need a couple of minutes. David Bell had his welcome to the big leagues as a manager moment when Craig Counsell ran circles on him and got Luis Castillo out of the game in the third inning.
Yeah, 2 2/3 for Castillo.
That was it. When you make that move and you pull your dude that's in the top 5 in ERA across baseball, is what, like 24, 25 years old?
Yeah.
And you get him out that early?
Tough customer.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, 799-1250.
We'll take one from you, David Bell.
Bucks or Brewers? And I will tell you this, as a casual Bucks fan, I'm a little nervous. Yeah, the way I see it, they got punched in the face yesterday.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to put it.
It was not good. It wasn't good. But we'll take a break and come back, continue our conversation. Got to get into Keston Hira, and is he here to stay? Hira here to stay? Gary Ellerson, J&J Contractors.
My good friends over at J&J Contractors are here to stay.
Dang right.
No doubt about it. Guys, you looking to do something in the interior home? Kitchen cabinets?
Mm-hmm.
Countertops?
I could use one.
Livable space like your basement, man cave, playroom for your kids.
Or your in-laws.
In-laws, mother-in-law suite. Add on to a bathroom to your house. Redo your bathroom, double sink. My good friends at J&J Contracts can do all that and more. You need to go check them out today. Call my good friends up today and ask for Jason at J&J Contractor.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, combined with the Wendy's Big Show after a Brewers 11-9 victory to take game two of this two-game set against the Cincinnati Reds in 29-22. Pretty impressed with the Brewers' attendance both last night and today. And school is still in.
Yes.
And again,
the school is the interesting one for me, Timmy. I don't know how many schools were doing skip day today, Gary. This is a little bit late for skip day, isn't it? I mean,
yeah,
May,
it's kinda late.
May 22nd?
Yeah, I thought it was the last game that had no game was skip day.
Don't they go to school until like June these days?
Yeah, but yeah, the 1st of June. So right.
Well, that's there. True. Then if you're in high school, like this would be the right time because you probably graduate like a week early, so you might be graduating next week. Right. This would be the perfect opportunity for the skip.
I've found it interesting over the past couple of years, the conversation about Brewers attendance, baseball attendance, I should say, and a school night. So what...
Well, that's because you were the guy that would take his kid out of school to go to the game.
I would. But I'm just wondering if a half hour makes that big of a difference.
The 6:40 start comparison versus, to the 7:10?
Versus 7:10. I mean, really?
I don't like it because I only get to do a half hour Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck show presented by Allegra Allergy Relief, but otherwise it's okay.
I raised a kid. Gary, you raised a kid. I mean, yeah, a couple 30, of, yeah. 30 minutes? I
mean, yeah, a couple of kids.
Is it that big of a deal?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they've got research and data that says, yeah, it is every 5-minute increment is a huge deal in getting your kid to and fro and going to a game and getting them to bed after the game and whatever.
What was the bedtime in your house, Gary?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Okay. See, so that then at that point, it kind of would.
9 o'clock.
You could probably make it to like the 6th inning, theoretically.
But you're still never going to.
What was your bedtime? Baby Tosh.
Like in high school?
Yeah.
I really didn't have one.
I don't remember having one.
In high school, you didn't have one?
No.
No.
See, therein lies a problem right there.
But the 30 minutes, really? I mean, either way, you're leaving early.
Do you have a bedtime in high school?
No. I mean, like, generally, I was probably in bed by 10 o'clock.
Tim, did you have
a
bedtime for...
I can't remember.
That means no.
I doubt it.
For Ty?
I know we had to be home at a certain time.
What time did you have to be home? What time did Ty have to be home?
In high school, 10. I would say 10 is, yeah.
Bill, do you have a be at home time?
I mean, not necessarily. Like, kind of just like let them know what was going on. My sister was such a nightmare by that time. Once I was there, Gary, everybody was like, he's just gravy. Let him go do whatever he wants.
Okay.
He's a mess up anyway. He's going to do something in his life.
All right.
No, but seriously, does 30 minutes make that much of a difference? In a start time for a baseball game.
It really doesn't, though, right?
I don't think so.
I never think it does.
Maybe there's some data out there that expresses that.
I could just be net neutral, too, and maybe they just want to start it late. You know, Timmy, I know you love that phrase. I know you love when Craig Counsell tells you it's net neutral when you look at the numbers of it, but maybe it's like batting the pitcher eighth. There's benefits to it, and there's negatives to it that kind of just outweigh each other.
Frankly, I really don't care when the game starts, honestly. I mean, at this point.
Well, right, because anytime I'm in with you for the postgame show, it's going to be a 4.5-hour game. You already know that, so it doesn't really matter when it starts. Exactly.
I've got nowhere to go. 799-1250.
Except on the air.
Who got lit up? Yeah, that is, a couple of things. The Bucks did last night, unfortunately. I mean, that was
I would also fall into that category.
And you did, too?
I did, too.
Okay.
There was nothing else to do down there. Once the thing ended in the middle of the third,
that was that.
And it stretched out to 20, it was like, well, okay, well, all right. Here's the $3 at Punch Bowl Social. I guess that's what's happening.
That's what it was. Crazy.
I know people not pleased after that game last night. So the Bucks got lit up last night.
Lit up.
The Reds did, too, today, allowing 11 runs. Luis Castillo, he got lit up as well, just 2 2/3. And the Brewers got to him and got him out of that game. It was mainly pitch count that got him out of the game. Let's go back to our game recap here real quick. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell coming up. First inning, Zach Davies faced the minimum in this this first inning. He did get a caught stealing after a leadoff walk to Senzel. And you go to the bottom of the first, a two-out walk from Grandal in the bottom half. They pushed nothing across, and the Reds put up 5 runs in the second. Single, singles, single, 2-run double, fly out, and a 3-run home run.
Let's talk about that double. I mean, if you're going to talk about the cheap Texas leaguer base hit that falls in there,
that was
then
one.
Gets past Ben Gamel to score the 2 runs, when do those come by for the Brewers?
Yeah. Yeah. They'll get there.
Yeah. I wanted to get you going.
Yeah.
They will get there.
See, I got him, Gary, a little bit.
Things tend to even out in baseball. The baseball gods, they'll balance the beam. They will.
That was a brutal one.
5 zip in this one, and you're thinking, man, after last night, you get shut out by the Reds. You're down 5 zip. The Bucks get blown out, and you're thinking, what a miserable time in Milwaukee sports. That's what you're thinking at that time. Brewers get one back in the bottom of the second inning. They start chipping away. And if you're going to be down 5-zip, be down 5-zip early.
Hira sends one to left. High fly ball. Back to the wall is Van Meter. And she's gone. Keston Hira with his first Miller Park home run.
So it's 5-1 at that time, his second big league home run. They had a chance for more after a Ben Gamel base hit and an Arcia double, second and third, nobody out, and they could not score another run. I don't want to get used to that, but there was a safety squeeze in there that the runner was pinched at the plate. But 5-1 into the third inning in this one. Davies gives that run right back, a solo shot from Dietrich. Now 6-1 into the bottom of the third inning. And the crew, they battle back. Leadoff shot, Mike Moustakas.
Mike Moustakas will lead off for the Brewers. First ball swinging, high drive into right center field. This is way back and goodbye. The Moose is loose.
It's 6-2 at that point. Grandal then works a walk, and after a couple of strikeouts, Ben Gamel was hit by a pitch to put 2 on with 2 out. HP with an infield single to load the bases. And then a 9-pitch at-bat, really impressive at-bat from Orlando Arcia, and he caps it.
Arcia in a battle here. 34th pitch of the inning. This will be the 9th pitch of the at-bat against Arcia. Runners take off. Arcia, a little soft liner, base hit.
There's that soft contact.
Scores. Gamel right behind him. And Orlando Arcia now on his way to second. He'll take the extra bag on the throw in. Heads up, base running. Arcia delivers in the clutch.
Man, the 6-4 at that point. Now it's game on for sure. And Counsell in the bottom of that third inning. Rally still continues, pulls Zach Davies after 2 2/3. 6 hits, 6 earnings given up, by far worst outing of his 2019 campaign. Brawny in to pinch hit in for Davies, and David Bell on the other side. They pull Castillo. They go to Lorenzen. Brawny strikes out, 6-4 to the fourth inning. Burns a scoreless fourth, bottom half. Kane reaches on an error. Moustakas with a base hit. Runners at first and third. Grandal, a ground out. Moustakas moves over to second base. And how about Eric Thames with a game-tying 2-run base hit?
But he let it in. Thames, base hit center field. Kane is in to score. And being sent home. And a belly flop side safe. We are tied. Moustakas comes all the way around from second. It's a 2-RBI single, and the Brewers have come all the way back.
Yeah, they did. After being down 5-zip, they're tied at 6 into the fifth inning. The Reds retake the lead. Back and forth, Corbin Burns into some trouble. After 2 outs, a base hit, and then 2 consecutive walks gets him in trouble. Junior Guerra in, a 2-out, 2-strike, 2-run base hit by Iglesias off Guerra gives the Reds an 8-6 lead to the bottom of the fifth inning. Nothing for the crew right there. and Junior Guerra a scoreless sixth inning. Brewers back at it. Bottom half of the sixth inning. Leadoff base hit by Moustakas. And how about Yasmani Grandal?
Here's a 2-2. Grandal stings one into right center. Way back. And we are tied. Yasmani Grandal to the opposite field. And it's 8-8.
8-8 in the sixth. And Thames follows that shot with a base hit to center. After Keston Hira strikes out, Gamble was hit by a pitch. So two on with one out. Bell goes to his pen. HP steps to the plate to give the Brewers a lead.
No balls to the strike. Perez lines one. Fair ball! Bounces off the side wall. Calling in to score. Thames and the Brewers have the lead. 9-8. Edson Perez with an RBI single. For the first time today, Milwaukee is in front.
Yeah, their first lead of the day right there at 9-8. Arcia then adds to the lead with his own fun.
Arcia trying to add. And a little flare. That's going to fall. Base hit. In the score is Gamble. Perez on his way to third. It is 10-8 Milwaukee as Arcia delivers again.
There you go, that two-strike.
And how about Jesus Aguilar? Oh, he is still on the Brewers roster, Billy. I'm just saying.
Big spot for Jesus. 1-2. And a jam shot. Fly ball. Center field. Good speed at third to Perez. Senzel winds it up. Perez coming home. And he's in there. It's a sack fly for Aguilar. 11-8 Milwaukee.
11-8. Kane strikes out to end that inning. A five-run sixth inning for the Brewers. Take that three-run lead into the seventh inning. In game two here, Alex Claudio in for the seventh inning, gets one out. He walks a man, hits a man, two on, one out. Counts goes to the bullpen. Jeremy Jeffress coming on, and he gets a he gives up a base hit. Bases are loaded. Then he hits a batter to score a run. Now it's 11-9, bases juice, still one out. And I don't know if we did cut that highlight? Just
we got it.
Funky double play here to get Jeremy out of trouble.
And the 2-2 is swung on and missed. It is a strikeout. And now you got a chance at an out at first. Thames has the runner in the rundown. Missed him. And now the tag is put on and the inning is over. Cue the Benny Hill music. That was a straight swing and miss. And Casale got caught off the bag at first base. Inning's over. It's a double play. It's a strike him out, throw him out in a very unusual way.
That was a wild play, and Jeffress gets into some trouble in the eighth inning, first and third with one out, but Josh Hader took care of business in the eighth and took care of business in the ninth to earn his 12th save of the campaign. The Brewers get a come-from-behind 11-9 victory. They're now 29-22 here in the 2019 championship season. They split the two-game set, get the off day tomorrow, and then a big three-game set over the weekend against the Phillies. We'll take a break here. Wendy's Big Show meets up with the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Mill Hockey here on The Fan.
Timmy, you know there's a couple of things that I love, man, right? One of those is food, and the other one would be beer.
Check.
The best thing is, now I'm going to be able to combine those two, and I personally invite all of you to the Burgers and Brews with Beauforting event at Turner Hall Tuesday, May 28th from 6 to 9 p.m. This is a casual, no ticket necessary event. Kind of come anytime. You can grab three specially made burgers that are perfectly matched with a different Beauforting. Sample the entire lineup of beer, grab a burger, and hang out with the owner of Beauforting Beer. Guys, that's right. He is coming in from Luxembourg for this to hang out with you, me, Beauforting Bill, and allow to give away some stuff. Give away some free glassware, some shirts, and swag will be given away. It's Burgers and Brews with Beauforting at the Tavern at Turner Hall, May 28th from 6 to 9 p.m. You're going to have a chance to have a premium quality beer due to its superior ingredients. They only make Beauforting with 100% natural barley hops and the freshest spring water used in production. We're going to hear all about their family-owned brewing experience that's been going on for over 250 years. Family-owned has been Beauforting since 1764 in the country of Luxembourg. Hamburg, and you can go and meet the owner, taste the entire lineup, the crisp pilsner, the smooth triple ale that has 8% ABV by volume, Timmy. So if you're going to have a couple of triples, make sure you got an Uber home. A delicious fruit ale, the Balance Brewing, they're all designed to give you the full flavor of beer that doesn't fill you up. Guys, a little secret about Bofording beer, unlike those other imports, it's not owned by a gigantic corporation. It's not made in mass quantities. You don't need to put a piece of fruit in it, but you could pair it with a burger, and we will at Burgers and Brews with Bofording. It's Bofording, Milwaukee's favorite smooth drinking import, here on the Wendy's Big Show meets the Bayview Shade and Wine postgame show on the Fan.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper on the only station Brewers fans need before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hey, we'll get to council in just a second here as the Brewers get an 11-9 victory to split the two-game set against the Cincinnati Reds. And a little forward-thinking with our friends at Forward Financial Partners, and you can check those guys out at ffpwi.com. The Phillies last week, now, guys, I was sick, and it flew under the radar just a little bit. There were some hit batters in that final game of the Phillies series last week. And I, a little forward thinking, just keep your eyes on this Phillies-Brewers series firing up at Miller Park on Friday.
You kidding me?
Yelich was hit. Kane was hit. I want to say either Braun or Moustakas was hit. There were three hit batters in that game. And then late in the game, in Zach Davies' performance, Zach Davies, with nobody on and two out, drills Odubel Herrera in the back.
I'm going to be pissed.
So
can I tell you that?
Just look out.
If I do this show with you, the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show now, here on the air. Now, I've been able to do this with you. This would be the third year, right?
Yes.
Third year that I'd be able to do this. How many times have we been calling that they might need a little scuffle? That they could step up and have some backbone?
Could happen.
And I'm going to miss it this weekend?
It could happen. It just flew under the radar. It was just one of those, I don't know, under the.
I'm officially even more mad at my buddy for getting married this weekend.
Yeah, under the radar sort of things.
I miss a fight. I'm going to be ticked.
You might see it. All right, counsel, in just a bit, let's go to Alex. Alex, you're on the Fan. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
So,
I love these crossover shows, so it's a real treat because I'm an all sports man, you know.
My man, all sports guy here.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, it's good when we get a little crossover.
Yeah, a crossover feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think last year we had Packers, Brewers, and Bucks all starting at the same. They're all going at the same time.
I think we might have did.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. But so this is nice. But what the point I wanted to make was, usually when you talk depth and contributions for a team, it's been Milwaukee Bucks. They're deep, you know, their bench. They got contributors everywhere. And then I'm trying to, you know, work and keep track of this Brewers game here. And just looking at the stats and the RBIs and stuff, it's like it totally flipped. Today, the depth was all Brewers. So, you know, I just thought that was an interesting point to make, you know.
It does come down to what's an NBA roster? 12, 14, what is it?
12 active, 15 on the bench.
Okay. Yeah. And it comes down to those guys in on the bench, and it comes to 25 guys, especially under council.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just that if you're a position player and you're on Craig Council's team, be ready to play every day.
They kept calling, saying on the radio broadcast, I don't know if you picked up on this, but I immediately did. It was every single time they talk about Ryan Braun not being in the lineup, it was Ryan Braun not in the initial lineup.
Correct.
Because they knew that at some point he was gonna find himself in that ballgame.
Oh, yeah. I'm curious as to why Zeus isn't starting every day, but Thames came through today at a big
Thames has almost
hit.
A 400 on base percentage. That's why he's in the lineup.
Yep, I guess.
That's why he's in the lineup.
And so, hey, if the platoon works, fine, but I'd like to see Zeus try to recapture what he had on the first
Would
half
they
of
cut
last
him?
Year. Zeus?
Would they cut him?
Would they?
Yeah. To make room for Shaw. Keep Hira at second, and then Shaw and Thames are the first base combo. And Aguilar either gets traded or cut. Is that what they're setting this up for?
I wouldn't be happy.
Are they setting this up to see if Thames can do this more every day, considering they're the ones that gave him guaranteed money and paid him?
Yeah, I guess it's possible. I mean, unless you went with one less bullpen arm and you tried to get away with it.
Well, if Corbin Burns is in Home Run Derby, you can.
You might be able to.
Or if Alex Claudio is in home run derby, you can.
Yeah, I've had my fill of that.
There's ways that you can get around
Claudio.
No.
Okay. He's a workhorse.
I mean, he might be a nice guy, but I don't have much confidence when he comes into the game. Okay. I mean, really, at this point, who do you have confidence in?
Josh Hader.
That's it?
No, Moustakas is solid as solid.
No, bullpen.
No, bullpen.
Oh, in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Junior Guerra.
When they come in, you go, Junior Guerra, I am with
That's
you.
That's it.
Okay.
Gold. Albers.
No.
Jeremy Jeffress.
No.
They're one of the better bullpen. They're chewing up more innings than anybody else.
Chewing up.
They are. I'm not saying that they're not doing a good job. I'm just saying last year, for instance, right, in September, you knew when Jeffress came in, your money.
Yeah.
Hader came in, money. Even Knable in September.
Yes.
You had it. Where now? Where are those feelings now in May? Now, grant you, last May we didn't have these feelings about that bullpen either. So things are going to change throughout the course of the year. Knable's not coming back. But things will change throughout the course of the year. I'm just saying right now, yes, they've turned a corner, as Billy likes to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with that they probably have turned a corner to a certain degree. I just don't have the same confidence necessarily in them like I did, say, last September.
And you could use the same guys here with just one additional. You would have more confidence in these same guys, the same stable, JJ and Guerra and all these guys, with a closer.
Agreed.
Just simply. Totally. It's so simple.
Yep.
David Stearns, I know you're a big fan of the Big Show. Come on, baby. You know what you got to do.
Well, if it's only like about a week and a half away, once that draft happens, then you can go get Kimbrel.
Are you disappointed Anthony Swarzak wasn't made? Because he was just on the move. Little news and note, Timmy.
Yeah,
the news and notes.
I know you love your news and notes.
He was traded to Atlanta Braves. The Braves are trying to bolster their bullpen down.
Because they need it, because they were one of the teams that was going to be in the running for Craig Kimbrel.
Kimbrel.
And
yes.
Kimbrel hasn't signed. And then they thought that they were going to bring him back home, and he was going to pitch for them this year. So he hasn't signed with them. He hasn't signed with the Brewers. So the Braves go out and make the first move.
Swarzak was involved in
that.
Robinson Cano deal to Seattle, and then Seattle trades him to Atlanta. But the numbers are a little beefy right now for Swarzak.
What?
A little beefy. A little beefy. Beefed up, yeah.
Hey, I got some breaking news concerning the Milwaukee Basketball Hour tonight at Rare Steakhouse from 6 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
We know Steve Novak is going to be there. Right. We know Bill Michaels is going to be there. Yeah. We know Jeremy Lin is still going to be
there. Still
going to
be there.
But now added as well is DJ Wilson is now going to be the Milwaukee Basketball Hour.
Okay.
And now I'm getting a text saying Katie George will also be at the Milwaukee Basketball
That's
Hour.
A party tonight.
I'm not quite sure. We have an. I don't think so. No, I don't know. They're going to have to rotate people on and off. Maybe let Steve Novak host and Bill Michaels takes a set off.
They could share a little headset mic. Just tuckle up in there together.
Well, so according to what I'm getting on my phone, we got Katie George, DJ Wilson, Jeremy Lin, Steve Novak, and Bill Michaels all at Rare Steakhouse from 6 to 7.
I mean, it's a great time to have that show right about now.
No Big doubt. Time.
Yep.
Yeah. Some Bucks conversation coming your way here on The Fan. And right now, Craig Counsell got to be pleased, although his pitching staff did give up 9. We'll take it today because it's a Brewers win.
Craig, that was one of those games that shows you how unpredictable baseball can be. Yeah, like two of the best pitchers in the league starting and you have an 11-9 game.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, two guys that have had two of the best seasons in the National League up to this point. And, it turned into an offensive game where it was tough to get outs for pitchers really quick.
Just crazy baseball? I mean, or...
Yeah, I mean, the hitters did a good job today. I mean, the hitters in both, I thought their hitters did a nice job on Zach, and I thought our hitters did a really nice job on Castillo. The hitters made it hard for the pitchers, and they didn't give them kind of any room for error, I guess, is what I'd say. Thought we'd spoiled a bunch of pitches off Castillo, and Arcia's at bat just spoiled some pitches, and then got a hit, and then got something in, that he could just put in play. They kind of dumped some balls in there, and then got a big home run. It was an offensive day, the day for the offenses.
The play that kind of stands out is that strange double play in the top of the seventh. You feel like. Well, first of all, on the foul ball, you probably can't even see. Did you get a look at whether you think you caught a break on that?
No. I mean, I don't. That's in that corner. And I mean, those are going to replay, so you're the ghost is deciding it.
And then do you feel like you caught a break when Grandal sees the guy off first and sort of?
No, that's a play we work on every day. No, we caught a break there, 100%. It was a cross up, we just caught a break. I think it was kind of just what was going on was, I think, everybody's reaction on the field. But we caught a break, cross up, you know, swing and miss, and then the ball getting to the backstop, and it bounced right back to Yaz too. So there was no room to score there. He dropped it on the way back. So it was there was a lot of stuff that happened in just one play.
That's twice now in a couple of games you've seen a ball go
backstop,
carrying back the catcher. I mean, you could practice doing it and couldn't do it. You
know? Yeah, I mean. That's exactly right. I mean, that just doesn't happen. I mean, it doesn't happen where the ball goes right back to the catcher. It's now happened two times in a row on a ball to the backstop.
You don't have a brick backstop like they did in Atlanta. I'm not sure what it hit the carom back.
Well, I think the fact that it was a fastball, and, you know, it was a fastball, so it was a pitch that was, you know, basically went straight by Yaz. It wasn't off to the side. It wasn't spinning. You know, it didn't get ricocheted back there. It went straight back there.
He had called for a breaking ball.
Yeah.
Just with how the game went last night, how happy were you to see the quality of that bats, you know, coming back three different times?
Yeah, it was good at bats. First against a really good starter. Then just the way the game worked, you know, I thought our lefties had a great inning off Peralta. Moustakas leads off with a hit, and then Eric gets a hit. I thought Hernan Perez's at-bats today were excellent, excellent at-bats. He had a great day, played a good right field, and had really good at-bats. So a lot of guys just did a good thing, and then it was a kind of a move-the-line day. Really, it was just the line kept moving, and we kept having good at bats and a fun day of offense.
That opposite field home run by Grandal was pretty daggone impressive. I mean, that ball didn't scrape the wall.
No, he got that one good. Pitched down, and he, right-handed. I think that's his best swing is kind of center right field, and he got it good. He got that one good. There's no doubter.
Corbin was in route to a good outing, and then all of a sudden with two outs.
Yeah, that was the inning that was – I mean, they end up getting five straight guys reach, and nothing was – you know, it was some walks and, you know, a blooper, two walks, the flare to right and a hit by pitch. And we just – you know, we couldn't keep it a walk after that. I mean, that's where I kind of give them credit. Their walks there, they're having good at-bats off Corbin, and you just couldn't put him away.
What was his little scare that brought
them? Just when they called timeout, he just kind of hyperextended his knee a little bit. Nothing serious.
All right, there he is, Craig Counsell, and that weird double play in a big, big spot late in the game. Jeremy Jeffress on the hill, Yasmani Grandal behind the dish, and a cross-up. Now, they got lucky on it, and Craig Counsell admits that it was lucky. Here's part of the pains of Yasmani Grandal in a Brewers uniform or in any uniform. We saw it last year in the NLCS. We're going to have to really, really love the offense a lot.
I love that two-run homer today, Timmy.
That was a
big homer. That bat flip was nice after, too.
Big time to tie the game. No question. No doubt about it.
He looks good in that number 10. He's the swaggiest guy behind the dish.
When I'm pained when old Tin Mitt behind the dish has one clank off his glove, man, I just think of those two-run home runs. And I think that's what we got to deal with.
That's
with
what you
Yasmani,
just remember
right?
those home runs.
However,
Timmy.
Guys, let me just say this. The other night on the post-game show, I went in and took a look at some defensive metrics. He actually he's up there. Now, catcher's ERA is down. He's down as a catcher's ERA.
That's what our boy Mark Simon from Sports Info Solutions just told us. A little down where you'd think, but that offense helps.
But the rest of it, it was actually a lot better than I thought, so maybe I'm overstating
this. Maybe you need to close your mouth and know your role, Tim Allen.
Maybe I should stop picking on Yasmani Grandal.
Thank you. Thank you. And okay. Remember that Brandon Woodruff was the best young starter in this thing.
That'll be my New Year's resolution. Stop picking on Yaz.
Good. Let's do it.
Wendy's Big Show, hooking up with the Baby Shade and Blind postgame show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals after a Brewers 11-9 win. Wendy's Big Show meets the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey. Tim, Gary, Sparky, Baby Tausch, and a Brewers 11-9 victory. Get back into the Bucks conversation. You guys can pick a lane.
Timmy, can I ask you something?
Sure.
What do you think of Drake being on the going all nuts yesterday on the floor at the Bucks game?
Yeah, we sort of penciled that in for tomorrow a little bit, but
okay.
I'll tell you right now, I didn't really have a major issue with it.
Do you want him at Fiserv Forum for Game 5?
If
on the floor talking his stuff.
If it's legal, I guess there's not much you can do about it. And I'll tell you guys tomorrow why something happened in a Brewers game in 2007 that changed my mind a little bit on celebrating.
Okay.
And how I'm not all fully offended by it.
Sure.
As much as I was.
Okay.
As much as I was. We'll get into that. Tomorrow as well.
Thanks for filling in tomorrow. Appreciate you, man.
Correction.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Correction of the game brought to you by the Milwaukee County House of Correction. And this one, let's go back and correct a Bucks loss with a Bucks win tomorrow.
Boom. How about it?
That's it.
Best way we can do it.
Bucks conversation coming up in just a couple of minutes with the Wendy's Big Show. And you guys have a great night. Don't go anywhere. I'm talking Bucks. We're talking a lot of Bucks coming up next here. And remember, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
Eric, name of the Athletic on the Wendy's Big Show.
Next.